Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi, everyone. My name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I had a conversation with Kelly Chillingworth, Director of Business Development at RX Benefits. Kelly and I mainly discussed the unique connection between pharmacy and telemedicine, what impact telemedicine and its pharmacy costs have on self-funded employers, and how the right virtual care services a health provider offers to their members can be essential to building a competitive benefit. Hello, Kelly. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for joining me for an episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast.
I am happy to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
No problem. So to get started, can you first just tell our listeners, Kelly, what your role is at RX Benefits and what the mission is of the organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a director over sales, otherwise known as business development. The Northeast is my territory. I'm a pharmacist and I've got a master's in healthcare administration and some other certificates, but I'm a lifelong learner from a clinical standpoint, but also really excited to spread the mission of RX Benefits, which is to number one, provide amazing service to our clients. Our clients are generally smaller to mid-sized self-insured groups, although we do have large self-insured groups as well. We don't want anything falling through the cracks. Cost savings is a big focus of ours, as well as really strong clinical oversight and independent clinical reviews. So our mission is to provide all those things to self-insured employer groups with a big smile on our face.
Good. Oh, that's everything with a smile is always better.
That's right.
So if you can also share, how do you help your clients access an affordable, best-in-class pharmacy benefit that will drive down overall healthcare costs? More so, what is the process? How does that work?
Absolutely. Okay. So, our leaders at our clients, which again are self-insured employer groups, they want savings, but they also want happy, healthy, engaged teammates, associates, employees. That's how business thrives, right? So we want to help them achieve that by making sure that the benefit is affordable. The way that we do that is by leveraging our size of about 2.4 million lives under our purview. We go to the big three PBMs and renegotiate every 6 months, approximately, to get better rates, better terms, clean terms, and just a really straightforward good deal for our clients. And we do that without being asked. We're like the perfect, partner in life, right? Like we're thinking about the needs of others without somebody having to ask us to do that. So we proactively go out and renegotiate those terms. But we also have invested really heavily in our clinical staff. So we've got very fun pharmacists who are brilliant, who take the time to review chart notes and prior authorizations and stuff on an independent level. Since we don't own any pharmacies, we're strictly looking at, authorizations and coverage rules based on the clinical nature of that patient situation and the drug being prescribed. So we feel like we're a really thoughtful, solid partner, as well as, again, providing that service level, not only to the membership when they call, but to the client as well. So we have a client services area and a member services area.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sure. Now, can you share with me the big topic of our conversation, the connection between pharmacy and telemedicine?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a couple crazy years here. So telemedicine has taken off. In all the publications that I read as a pharmacist and then certainly as a business person, telemedicine's all over the place. So we at RX Benefits started thinking deeply about that. And I've started reading a lot of things, statistics, data relative to the uptick. Certainly the simple, quick version is doctors prescribe medications, whether they do it in person or via telemedicine. Right. So, if people don't get care, they don't get prescriptions, which is great for savings in the very, very short term, but it's very, very bad for patient outcomes. So the connection really is just access to a provider in a time of need when maybe you can't leave the house or go anywhere. And there are some definite benefits associated with doing it that way.
Can you tell me what impact telemedicine and its associated pharmacy-related cost has on self-funded employers?
Yeah, what we've seen, you know, over the last, I would say, year and a half, probably as a main drug class or drug type being prescribed over telemedicine, we've got two main buckets. One is the maintenance type medications that people were on before COVID hit. We can't take a vacation from things like blood pressure pills and high cholesterol medications and antidepressants and things like that that we've been on for a while. Now, all of a sudden, patients couldn't go to their doctor. So they're like, what do I do? Uptick in telemedicine results in prescribing of maintenance meds, which is great, right? We want continuity of care. But the other bucket that we saw are the acute meds, because a lot of offices and even some urgent cares were closed for a while there. Things are obviously shifting, but we saw things for UTIs, urinary tract infections. We saw things for asthma flare-ups. We saw things for medications for sinus infections and the like, rashes, eye drops. Items that were needed quickly could be achieved through having a telemedicine visit.
Okay, wonderful. Can you share how evaluating your clients' virtual care offerings relating to their members' needs can be essential to building a competitive benefit moving forward?
Sure. Oh my gosh. I saw an article and heard it on the radio that 41% of working humans are thinking about quitting their job right now. So, you know, we've all had time to reflect over the COVID months about existential things like the meaning of life and holy cow, I missed my family, or gee whiz, this is too much family, or, right, you know, I really, life is short and people are dying. And maybe is this what I want to do with my life? And so we've all become very, very thoughtful in interesting ways. So much so that, you know, some of our clients are having trouble re-recruiting teammates back into their business. Say they had to have a furlough or some layoffs, or they suffered during COVID. They're having a hard time getting workers back. And then certainly we've got challenges in specific industries, maybe even in essential worker groups, where, you know, the COVID months really took their toll. So the idea behind having a competitive benefit is to recruit and retain talent. So having a benefit where telemedicine is an option is very smart. Right now, today, this is being recorded on August 4th of 2021. So right now, today in the news, we're talking about the Delta variant. We're talking about mask mandates being reinstated. So while telemedicine has plateaued a bit, it spiked in April of 2020, and it's plateaued a bit to become about 13 to 17% of all outpatient visits. I have a feeling that may go back up. So having that benefit in place at this time when people are being really, you know, thoughtful about their job selection is really going to be key.
Oh, of course. Now in this, like you said, you know, time where the use of telehealth or telemedicine has been, you know, increased, has there been, you know, at least some, I'm sure, some new discoveries or results through the use of telehealth in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm sorry. For example, you know, increased amount of patients being treated or things like that. But any other new discoveries that have come about?
So many revelations over the last year and a half, especially in healthcare, right? Because prior to COVID, we weren't really sure, you know, telemedicine was definitely an offered benefit. And it was pretty cool for people like me who traveled for work, because I could be out of state and still acquire, you know, care if I needed something for an acute situation. But what it turned into really was fear of not being able to have access to these physicians, not really knowing what was coming next, and the desire, of course, to stay healthy during this crazy period. So definitely an uptick in utilization. I've got a bunch of data here in front of me, and it appears that the Medicare and Medicaid population telehealth may be spiked a little bit higher than the commercial, potentially due to their existing poorer health status, right? We've got elders in that bucket. The desire to stay healthy for elders is and was an issue, especially during a global pandemic. And as it levels out, we're still noticing an uptick. But the thing I've noticed the most and what I'm reading about the most is a beautiful thing, and that is mental health care over the telemedicine portals. It's been a very stressful time, obviously, Captain Obvious over here. But, you know, people who didn't have a mental health condition before COVID developed one. A lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, a lot of I don't know what to do. Families have been impacted. So the beauty of telemedicine is that it can be accessed from anywhere as long as you've got an internet connection. And the uptick in mental health care really has been something. I was reading an article this morning about a study that they're doing in Brazil around family counseling over telehealth and the wonderful outcomes that it is having. So I think we're going to continue to explore that and study that and really see a benefit in that area.
Great, thank you. Now, what do you recommend for self-funded employees to do to receive the proper telemedicine tools if they're still not offering, you know, what's needed today to their members or patients?
Well, I know this sounds super crazy, but I would say ask them. Right? I would say ask the members, the employees, what it is they want. Everyone's got a different comfort level with this kind of care, but I can tell you that something that allays fears when you can't get to a physician or resources are cut off is the comfort of knowing that somebody's out there if you really, really need it. So I would say that, you know, asking the teammates what they want, compare it to what you have. And then certainly my second tip would be to do a market check on vendors and features that are available out in the marketplace. It generally is a cheaper alternative to just a regular office visit, definitely a more affordable option than an ER visit. And certainly with the right situation and the right care and the right circumstances, it's possible that an ER visit could be avoided. So, you know, there are lots of variables. When I say I want to continue to study this and have healthcare professionals continue to study this, we really have to drill down into certain populations and certain conditions and certain situations, I think, and find where it made the most sense to do that. Hopefully, after all of this passes, we'll have a really good strategy for employer groups around recommendations to their teammates where telehealth can be the most useful. I think that, you know, just as a user-friendly example, if an employee has some sort of, I say urinary tract infection, because it's a scary, urgent thing that people need to take care of. If they would just go buy the little strips at the drugstore, take a picture of it, send it to the telehealth doctor, that physician is going to be empowered then to help you as a patient. And I think as telehealth continues to evolve and at-home tools continue to evolve, we're going to be able to help the physicians help us. And as that team effort kind of grows, employers, again, are going to have a better idea of when and where this makes the most sense.
Oh, of course. Yes, thank you. And that's actually all I had for you, Kelly. But if there's anything you'd like to share about, you know, the relationship between telemedicine and pharmacy that in that connection, you know, please feel free.
Well, I always have two more cents to share. Always, always.
Good.
So in general, you know, we talked about chronic conditions. These certainly need to be maintained and that avenue needs to be protected so that patients know that they have someone to go to. We don't want patients to feel cut off or to take a med vacation because it'll be fine. It's bad things happen when people decide to take, you know, time from their medicines that are important for them. It's bad for outcomes. But it's also really important to have a partner on the pharmacy benefit side that helps to ensure that the medications that were prescribed in any forum are the right medications for that patient. So that's where I see Rx Benefits being a really good partner. Not only do we stay on top of the innovations and the trends, what's going on in the marketplace, but our independent clinical reviewers are going to help to make sure that that doctor was able to gain the information they needed for that patient and really to prescribe the right drug at the right time for that that right situation. So healthcare is complicated, and it's important to have a good plan and a good partner.
Oh, for sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly, for your time. I really appreciate it. And thank you, you know, for informing me a bit more about this topic in general and our listeners. So thank you very much.
Absolutely a pleasure. It was nice to meet you. And thanks a million, Brianna.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.